Thank you for delivering it in such a great way, too. And y'all remember George Beverly Shea singing that song? If you do, then you just dated yourself. Amen. But hey, I used to love to watch Billy Graham Crusade just to hear him sing that song a lot of times. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 11.
Amen.
Amen. Luke chapter 11. Thank you, Father. I was just about to shout out the word hypocrite, and all of a sudden the music came on. Amen. Okay, I'm about to start off with my sermon today. Maybe the Lord wanted me to tone it down a little bit. Amen. Amen. But guys, when I say the word hypocrite, I guarantee you, you're not unlike me. You got somebody pictured in your mind. Amen. You got somebody you're thinking about when you hear that word, right? And I'm sure some of you were puzzled when you rode by and saw the sign today. You thought, what's that crazy preacher up to now, putting that out there on the sign? But you know, I want you to understand that, hey, we can't accuse somebody of being a hypocrite until we examine ourselves first, right? Because I believe that that's one of the biggest problems in churches today. You know, a lot of times people will say, and I've shared this with you before, they'll say, hey, I don't go to that church. It's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. And I always respond to them by saying, well, come on, there's room for one more. Amen. Come on and join us. We don't ask any questions. You just come on and be a part of the fellowship here. So, you know, most of us never consider, though, whether we might be one ourselves, do we? We're quick to condemn and point a finger at somebody else and say, man, they're just being a hypocrite. But when's the last time we just got in front of a mirror and said, Lord, reveal to me what I'm doing that could be hypocritical? You know, we don't think like that, do we? We always want it to be somebody else. We don't want it to be ourselves. We don't think of ourselves as being that way, do we? But let me tell you something. I'm going to point out, it's going to take a couple of Sundays to do this, but I want to talk about six markers that I believe are signs of a hypocrite, because we understand the definition of it. If I ask you, what does it mean to be a hypocrite? What is a hypocrite? You're going to say, it's somebody who says one thing and does another. Yes, that is true. But what marks someone as being a hypocrite? What does it take to get to that definition is what I want to try to talk about over the next couple of weeks. Because you know what? I've had to do a lot of examining of myself here of late and say, you know what, Lord? I can't be up here preaching to everybody when I'm not practicing what I preach. So the Lord has to bring me under conviction in order to get me straightened out a lot of times. And trust me, when I preach a sermon, I'm preaching it to myself first. Amen. I'm not preaching it at you. I'm preaching it to you because it's already been preached at me first. So that's what I want to make sure everybody understands. You know, the hard truth is that it is a reality that we all suffer from. It's a reality. We, from time to time, are going to be hypocritical. But I think it's important that we recognize warning signs to help us avert staying that way. Because we're going to talk today about a group of people, and next Sunday as well, who that's all they were hypocrites. And Jesus reserved his harshest words not for thieves, not for prostitutes, not for criminals, but for the segment among the religious folks whom he identified as hypocrites. I'm talking about the Pharisees. That's who he reserved his most harsh comments toward. He just let them have it. I mean, he just told them like it was. He didn't do that to the average criminal that he came in contact with or prostitutes or anything like that that he had close contact with to try to witness to them and help lead him to him. But he had harsh words for the Pharisees. You know, probably the most frightening thing about the Pharisees was that they were a group of people in the Gospels which most closely resembles us in this day and age. You know, if you think about it, we're like, oh, I'm not a Pharisee. Well, what made a Pharisee a Pharisee? That's what we're going to talk about today and next week. Exactly what made them hypocrites. Because I think we all know that Jesus referred to them as that, but do we really understand what made them that? That's what I want to talk to you about today. I know it's rainy outside. How many of you are awake? Say amen.
Amen.
Everybody still awake? Okay, good. All right. So let's begin by looking at our scripture passage today, Luke 11. We're going to read about 8 or 9 verses of chapter 11, verse 37 through 54, just to give you an intro and an idea of what we're going to be looking at today. I'm going to ask all of you who can, if you will, stand to your feet in reverence and honor of reading God's word, beginning with verse 37. It says, "And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. You fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as ye have. And behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Father God, we just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, help us to understand what it is you want us to get out of the message today, Lord. Let it not be about me, but let it all be about you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, so far as fundamentals are concerned now, the Pharisees believed in nearly everything that we do. They believed in the things we believe in, you see, but they didn't practice them. That's the problem. I mean, we believe in a lot of the same things the Pharisees believed in. They believed in God. They believed in honoring and keeping the Ten Commandments. But that's where it kind of ended with them. They were hung up in the law. They were hung up in that way of doing things. So we're going to look at six marks, I believe, of a hypocrite. And we're going to look at the first three this morning. And then we'll finish up the next three next week. So let's begin by saying this. The first mark of a hypocrite, I believe, is that they major on the minors. They major on the minors. You see, the Pharisees, they were great tithers. They gave their mints and herbs and everything else. They weighed them out to the tenth. They didn't give above that, but they gave to the tenth of everything. Great tithers. What did Jesus say about them, though? Look at what he says. He said, "Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." You're all about the outside. You're not about what's going on the inside of you. Oh, they were good at doing that. Now, they were great tithers and all that. Although they don't exist anymore in this day and age, I'm talking about the Pharisees, the spiritual errors they made are still with us today, though. I want you to understand that. Guys, when we get caught up in majoring on the minor things, we miss the big picture of what God's got out there for us, don't we? We don't see what it is God wants because we're hung up on the minor, trivial things that God could care less about. Do you realize that? He doesn't care about this building. He doesn't care about the bricks and mortar of a church. He cares about what's in that church, amen? He cares about the way the people are in there, the way their hearts are. But you see, the Pharisees were all about the outside of the building, not about the inside of the building. They majored on the minors. I'm going to list some issues here that I think show when we get to majoring on the minors. Let's take a look at a few of them. How about this one right here? What version of the Bible do you read? Oh, that's always a big one, isn't it? Let me tell you something. There is no right or wrong version of the Bible as long as it's talking about Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God who came to earth. He died for our sins. He was hung on a cross. He was buried and resurrected on the third day. And guys, that's what Christianity is all about. Amen. Now, I preach from the King James Bible, but let me tell you something. When I study for these sermons, I'm in a lot of different translations. When I don't, and guys, those of you that are King Jamers out there, listen. Don't tell me you understand every word that's in there. I know you don't. I know you don't understand it. So what do? You ask somebody or you consult something to give you an explanation. Let me give you a for instance here to help ease the rumblings and the grumblings about what translation of the Bible we should use. When you don't understand something the Bible says and you ask the preacher and he explains it to you in layman's terms and then you go home and you open your NIV and it's exactly the way the preacher explained it, what does that tell you? Hey, here's some things that help people understand God's word easier, right? I have no problem with that. That's majoring on the minors. There's nowhere in God's word says, hey, you ought to stick to this, because guess what? There was no King James Version in Jesus' day, amen? Amen. There was no Bible, period. Things were still being lived out and recorded and God sent. Truth be known, if you want to follow the real manuscript, we all need to learn Hebrew and Greek, amen?
I don't believe anybody in here can speak either one, can you? You may know enough to get yourself in trouble, amen? But that's kind of like me with Spanish. I know enough to get myself killed if I went to Mexico right about now. Amen? But guys, it's not about that. God's not interested in what translation of the Bible you're reading. He's interested in you picking it up and reading it.
Amen?
I'm getting a little passionate up here about that today. Some of you are so caught up in what translation of the Bible we ought to have, but are you reading it and are you living it? That's the question I'm asking you, amen? Are you doing that? Let's look at something else here. Do you believe in prophecy? If so, what is your position on end times? Oh, I'm a pre-tribulation theorist. I'm a post-tribulation theorist. I don't care what tribulation you're believing in, as long as you understand Jesus is coming back one day, amen? Isn't that going to be a great day? Jesus is coming back. It doesn't matter if it's pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, as long as you understand he's coming back for his bride, and those of us that are left here on this earth when he comes, pre or post, we're going to be caught up together. We're not going to precede those who have already died and gone on to be ahead of us. That's going to happen. So see, it doesn't matter arguing that point. What point is there? Jesus doesn't want us to argue about stuff like that. How about this one? Are you a Republican or a Democrat? Woo! I'm going to cross that boundary right here and right now. Amen. Let me tell you something. Jesus could care less. He doesn't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. What he cares about, though, is what we feel in our heart about other people. Amen. And if we're going to continue, love him or hate him, whatever your viewpoint is on President Trump. I'm not saying he's a great man and does all things right, but I'm saying this. He was elected as President of the United States of America, and we ought to support him. I don't care who the president is. There have been plenty of presidents I don't agree with, but I never went on a smear campaign about any of them. I didn't just get out on social media and just look at the TV. This is ridiculous. 2 full years plus. Nothing but trying to find every negative thing you can find. Guys, that is hypocritical. That's the definition of it right there. And guess what? The very people pointing the fingers, let's look into their past a little bit. Oh, no, we ain't going to fool with that, right? We don't want that. So, guys, it doesn't matter about that. Republican, Democrat, Independent, who cares? That's not what Jesus is concerned with. And here's another big issue with a lot of people in the world today. Where do you send your kids to school? Do you homeschool them, private school, public school? Guess what? All that education ain't going to matter anyway if you don't know Jesus, amen? Doesn't matter where you send them to school. So that's between you and your family. God doesn't say where you should send your kids to school. That's a decision you make. But what you better be sure you're doing is leading them to the Lord. Amen? That's what you got to make sure you're doing. Don't worry about what school they're going to. I don't care what school they go to. I'm going to love them anyway. You know why? Because they're God's children. Amen. And because they're made in His image. Amen? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
All right. If you don't, say oh me. Good. Everybody's in agreement. Amen. So far. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So you see, guys, whatever the issues are, if we're using them to define whether or not a person is spiritual or not, we're guilty. That doesn't define who you are in Christ. Doesn't matter what kind of Bible you read. Doesn't matter what affiliation you are politically. Doesn't matter about your theory on the tribulation or about what school you send your kids to. What matters is, how is your relationship with Jesus? That's what matters.
Amen.
That's what we got to understand, guys. The second mark of a hypocrite, I believe, is this. They are preoccupied with being noticed. They're preoccupied with being noticed. You know, some people, all they want to do is be noticed in the church. They want to let everybody know. I know some people right now, they're not members of this church right now. But I think they have been maybe in the past, but the first thing they want to do, they want you to know how much money they gave to the church. God doesn't care. Because guess what? You ain't getting blessed for that anyway. You know why? Because the Bible says in the book of Matthew, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. When all you're doing is bringing attention to you, you're not getting a blessing for what you did anyway. So don't worry about it. I don't care what kind of money you give. If you're not giving with a cheerful heart, you're giving for the wrong reason anyway, amen?
Amen?
So you know what? Keep your money. Put it back in your wallet. God's going to provide, amen?
Amen?
I'm tired of this, You know, all of these people that think that, you know, this is all theirs. We don't have anything except what God gives us. Amen? Amen. Why do we want to be stingy with it? It does not matter about those kind of things. If all we're doing is drawing attention to us, we're doing the wrong thing. And we're doing it for the wrong reasons. You see, the Pharisees, oh, they love the most important seats in the synagogue. They love to waltz through that door. And guess what? The most important seats were on the front, unlike Baptist churches. Amen. Most of them in the back. Amen. But the most important seats in the synagogue were up front. So what did they do? They came strolling right in. Not only were the best seats in the front, they were facing the congregation. So, hey, I'm going to get doubly seen. They're going to see me coming in. They're going to see me while the service is going on. Amen. That's all they wanted to do was be noticed. All some people want to do in churches today is be noticed. Let me check that off my bucket list. I want people to see me and know that I am here. Amen. I hope you're not here today just to be seen. I hope you're here today because you want to come and serve a risen Savior. Amen. That's what my prayer is today. And I believe everybody that's here today is there for this reason, because this weather certainly wasn't conducive to get out of bed this morning, was it? But I thank God that everybody's here today that's here. You see, they wanted the best seats. They wanted to be recognized. They did what they did to be seen and noticed by others. Guys, let me ask you something. Are your acts of service to Christ done to be seen by men? Or are you satisfied to serve unnoticed? Are you satisfied to serve even though you get no credit for anything? That's the way I am. You know why? Because that's what God's word says. I cannot be bringing attention to myself if I expect to get blessed by God. Amen. Can't do it. So you see, if all you want is recognition and you want to say so, and you always want to be the center of attention and the center of controversy, whatever it is you want to be, guys, you're in it for the wrong reason. You're not going to get blessed for that. And guess what? One day you're going to have to explain that in front of Jesus. That is, either in the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment, whichever one you may get grouped into. So you see, it's not about prestige. It's not about drawing attention. It's about getting in here and serving Jesus and living as harmoniously as we can together and learning to agree to disagree if we can't reach an agreement. You know what? Here's another problem with churches today. And this church is bad about it too. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. I'm done trying to be Mr. Nice Guy. I'm going to tell you like it is. Amen. How many of you like the truth? Amen. Say amen. Well, you fixing to get it. Amen. Let me tell you something. There's people in this church since I've been here. They get their feelings hurt. They walk out the door and they don't want to come back. Well, guess what? Stay home. Stay home. We don't need that kind of stuff in here. You get your feelings hurt, you take your toys, go home. I'm not begging you to come back. I'm not begging you to come and worship Jesus. If you don't have it in your heart, stay home. Amen. And that's the way I feel about it. Because some people want to be pampered into coming up. That is a Pharisee mentality, guys. And I love each and every one of you. That's why I'm telling you the truth right now. That's what's wrong with churches today. Everybody believes you ought to pamper somebody into coming to church. Guess what? That ought to be in your heart to come. I shouldn't have to pamper you and beg you and plead you. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. You get up and go anywhere else you want to go, so it's up to you whether you want to come on Sunday. I'm not going to beg you. Amen. I'm not going to beg you. I'm going to support you in anything you do. But guys, hey, you got to make some decisions in your lifetime for the good or for the bad. I hope you're making good, positive ones. But you know what? Some people just want their voice heard. That's exactly what the Pharisees did. That's exactly what they wanted. And guess what? Jesus didn't have any part of it. Jesus said to them, "You are hypocrites." He never said that to anybody else in the Bible. It was always toward the Pharisees. You know why? Because they always were drawing attention to themselves. They always wanted to be noticed. Guys, the third mark of a hypocrite is this. They make men worse than better. They make men worse than better. Anybody that sat around and hung around the Pharisees were going to be worse for the wear than better. Why? Because they had the wrong idea of things. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. In the world today, if you're hanging around people that you know you shouldn't be hanging around with, you're going to be worse for the wear before you get better. It's who you hang around. I've preached that since I've been here. Do not unequally yoke yourselves with unbelievers. But what do some people do? As soon as they walk out this door, they're right back in the world. And they wonder why things aren't going right for them. They wonder why they can't seem to get it together. Because you're not getting together in the right way to start with. So you're not going to be able to hold it together. That's the problem. When you hang around that Pharisee mentality person, they're going to make you worse before they make you better. I've said this before. You hang around an unbeliever, they're going to rub off on you a whole lot sooner than you rub off on them. You mark my word if you don't believe that. You know how I know that? Because that happened to me. I started hanging around with worldly people. Guess what? It didn't take about 3 or 4 months. I was right in that world with them. And stayed there for several years. And I'm not proud of that. I'm just telling you that to let you know, hey, I know this will happen if you do that. That's why in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, bad company corrupts good character. It's about who you hang around with. Do you want to hang around with the Pharisees or you don't want to hang around with Jesus? You got to make that decision. I can't make it for you. You got to make that decision. You see, look at verse 44 and 45. Let me read that again. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also. In other words, they're saying like, you're talking about us? You're stepping on us here. You know what Jesus was saying? He was saying, Pharisees, you're like an unmarked grave. People don't even know you're there. They're just stepping right over you. And here you are trying to do this, this, and this, and it's like you don't even exist. Oh, but the Pharisees were all about marking a grave now. They used to whitewash tombs and everything so that everybody knew, hey, there's a grave here, because they believed if you stepped on it, you'd become defiled. They believed you'd get defiled. The Jews had to be especially careful about ceremonial defilement from dead bodies. So they made sure the graves were carefully marked. They could not stand this defilement that would come to them if they stepped on a grave. Now, how silly is that? We've lived under that old wives' tale for a long time. Don't step on that grave, man. You'd have bad luck. It don't matter if you step on a grave. That person don't know you're stepping on them, amen? They're not going to feel it. I mean, I don't purposely just go out trompsing out through the cemetery, stomping on every grave out there. You're not going to see me do that. But see, worrying with trivial things that have no meaning. You know, hey, every time we have a funeral out there, we have to walk over somebody's grave. Unless you want to walk all the way around, go 500 miles to get back over to the gravesite. That's trivial. That's Pharisee mentality right there. The Pharisees, however, were like unmarked graves, Jesus referred to here. They didn't look like graves at all. They basically weren't like real people at all. You know why? Because they were just whitewashed. So people would notice them. So people would be sure to move away and move toward and whatever they needed to do to recognize that they were there. They didn't believe in Jesus, and they only concerned themselves with the law of their beliefs. They only concerned themselves with the law of their beliefs. They didn't care about Jesus. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. They did everything they could from the time Jesus started his earthly ministry to get rid of him. And guess what? Eventually they did. But it wasn't before God was ready for him to go. That was all part of God's plan. So you see, that's what they did. Jesus basically viewed Pharisees as lawyers of such. Not like lawyers we know in this day and age, but rather they were only concerned with the Old Testament law. They were so caught up in the Old Testament law, they couldn't see that Jesus was bringing a new covenant to them. Caught up in the old way of thinking. Guys, that's the problem we got in churches today. We got that old thought mentality. Well, it's been done this way for 100 years. We ain't changing it, amen. Hey, and you know what? A lot of those churches right now have 2, 3, 4, 5 members still left in them. You know why? Because they couldn't change their way of thinking to God's way of thinking. And they didn't grow and they died out, and that's the end of them. I can name you several churches right now in this county have 5 or less members on a given Sunday. That's sad. 5 or less members on a given Sunday. You know why a lot of that is? Because they didn't have vision and they didn't follow God's plan for that church.
That's why that is. Guys, I want to ask you a question this morning as we close. Are you about being a humble servant, or are you more concerned with the insignificant things of the gospel? Or do you strive to live by what Jesus taught us to do? Do you feel the need to be seen and recognized for everything you do in church? Do you make others around you do things that bring down the kingdom, or are you a kingdom builder? You got to answer that question for yourself. Now, next week, guys, we're going to finish up these other 3 markers that I believe indicate or show that we're potentially acting like hypocrites. But, guys, I hope today we've kind of opened our eyes, because I know what? It opened my eyes up to the reality that, Lord, I need to ask you for forgiveness for some things. And I believe there's others in here today that needed to hear this message, because I'm just really tired of people who are just putting on a show. That's the way the Pharisees were. They were putting on a show. Putting on a show. And you know what? Anybody that would listen to them or look at them or give them the time of day, oh yeah, they just welcomed them right on into their brotherhood. Guess what? It was almost a cult mentality of the day. That's the way cults operate in this day and age. Oh, anybody will pay them attention and listen to them? Let me tell you something. When somebody pulls up in your yard and tries to talk to you about what they believe in, you ask them one simple question. And here it is. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he came to this earth, that he died on a cross for our sin, that he was buried, put in a grave, and 3 days later he was resurrected and is now in heaven at the right hand of the Father? If they can't answer yes to that, with all due respect, get off my property, amen. I'm not listening to you. But see, weak-willed people invite this into their homes, and that's where all these cultist mentalities develop. That's what happens, guys. We got to be strong in what we believe in. And don't think you got to beg and plead somebody to come back to church. If they don't want to come back, let them stay home. We're going to pray that God's going to move us in a direction where we'll get people that want to be here for the right reason, amen. You want to fuss and complain about everything, then go ahead. Do it at home. Because we don't need to hear it here in God's house. Yeah, we're not going to agree on everything, but we need to learn to have a reverent respect and learn how to agree to disagree. Amen? That's what we need to do. And that's what my prayer is going to be, because, guys, I'm going to tell you something. We all are guilty, myself included, of being a hypocrite from time to time. I just want to encourage you to take a look at yourself. Examine yourself. Don't pass judgment on someone else until you pass it on yourself first. And then, and only then, because in the book of Matthew it says, don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye when you got a plank in your own eye. Take the plank out of your eye, then you can be concerned with the speck in somebody else's eye. We need to examine ourselves first. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for your word. I just pray, God, that you'll help us examine what was talked about here today. Because, Lord, I believe in the truth, and I believe that's what you called me here to this church for, was to bring the truth. We're not always going to agree on everything, but you know what? It's time for men and women of Christ to stand up for who we believe in and what we believe in, and make it evident in our lives. Not just here for show, not just to, you know, try to impress somebody and whatnot, but, Lord, to do it genuinely from our heart. And Lord, that's my prayer today for each and every person here. I thank you for each and every person that's here today, Lord. It took a lot to get up this morning and get going, because it just wasn't a great morning weather-wise. But Lord, you blessed us with the people that are here today, and I'm so thankful for them. I love each and every one that's here today, and I just pray a special blessing into their life this coming week. And Lord, let us do nothing in this week that will offend you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky?
458.
Hymn number 458. Let's stand and sing. The altar, as always, is open if you need to come up here and pray.